Bob here, we do have a quorum. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 1st Chester Heights Borough Council meeting. If we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. I'll start with roll call. Tonight, we have in attendance Councilpersons Laura Lim, Natalie Anderson, Bob Adams, Susan Clark, and myself. Absent tonight is Drew Baum. Also present are our mayor, Fred Wood, and our solicitor, Jerry Montella. Absent is Matt Hoopman. The next thing on the agenda is the opportunity for the public to address council. Please state your name and address for the record.
Greg, you want to start off?
No comment, please. Okay. Thank you.
Ron? Okay. Jay Rako, do you have anything for council? Public comment?
No, just viewing.
Okay. Tony, I know you're just getting in. Do you have anything for public comment?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Marta Driscoll?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Kate Nolt? Okay, Elizabeth?
Kate, you're on mute.
Kate, you're on mute. Do you have anything for public comment? Okay. Elizabeth McKinnon.
Hi, this is Beth McKinnon from 333 Willits Way, Chester Heights. I just wanted to let everybody know that I was asked by CRC again to run Site 165, the stream cleanup, date and time to be determined. But I just wanted to let everybody know in case you wanted to post for volunteers through any site that you guys could help me with. There's a lot of trash back there, so I think it's going to be very much needed this year. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think that's all I have, Gina.
That's all we have. It's a late night. Okay. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the January 4th regular council meeting and the January 25th work session. Does anybody have any comments?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes for January 4th.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll have a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the minutes for January 2nd are approved. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the January 24th work session?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, all the minutes are approved. Next up on the agenda is the Secretary Treasurer's report and the January Treasurer's report approval. On the report, we have total receipts of $14,764 and total expenditures of $36,543.56. Are there any comments or questions about the Treasurer's report? I hear people clicking through. I'll give you another minute.
Yeah, so we had, sorry.
Okay.
Receipts of $14,764 and expenses of $36,543.56.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to approve the January Treasurer's report?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Treasurer's report is approved. Thank you. For correspondence, that is me. We did receive a complaint into the office about a mattress on Llewellyn Road and requested for that to be removed. And the only other mail we got were holiday cards and thank you cards. Moving on to inspectors' reports. Do I have a building inspector report? Susan, do you have anything to report from?
I did not get anything.
Okay. Mike Sioko, you have a fire marshal report and a borough mail update.
Yes, there were 5 incidents last month. And I wanted to report that the where we were having a problem up at the summit with someone calling in being trapped in the elevator. Last month, they actually had someone trapped in an elevator, which our guys, they went and pulled her out. So I have been talking with the maintenance guy, the head of maintenance, and I told him, I said, now that we had a legitimate one, says maybe there is something going on in the software of the elevator. So he's supposed to have that checked out. There were 5 incidents last month. And nothing. There was one small fire over at Madison. It was by the trash dumpster. And the men were just a little upset. I tried to report that there's rats running all over the place. So they were... they're no match when you hit them with a fire hose. So you kind of like shoot them into the next neighborhood. Anyway, the...
shoot them at the Wawa?
We could have the... So they were trying to cook them. I tried reporting it. They're really tough to get a hold of, Madison. I drove over, but... there's nobody in the office. Everything is remote. I try leaving messages. These call when they get a chance. I guess they haven't got a chance yet. So we're still working on that. All right, let's get to the mail. Chester Heights is not unique in Pennsylvania, where mail delivery is not assigned to just one particular Chester Heights. Many years ago, back in the 80s, the Treasury Secretary, Treasurer of Chester Heights, thought it was more convenient to have the mail directed to where she worked at in Marcus Hook. And hence, that's where the Marcus Hook stuck. That's how we ended up with the Marcus Hook. I remember when I first came in the 80s into Chester Heights, and my Garmin always said that I lived in Marcus Hook and not in Chester Heights. It took years. It actually took me 30 years to have TomTom recognize my actual number on my house, because they always ended the house numbers on Wilson Circle at 9. I'm 11. And they wouldn't wreck. It took me 30 years of writing letters and everything to them. We're not above anything. To turn around and try to have mail delivery to Chester Heights. At 30 years ago, I went to 30th Street and met with the Eastern Postmaster General and tried to request if any way we could do this. And he just said that Chester Heights is just so small. And he says, are you getting mail? I said, I have a post office box. He says, well, you're getting mail. So he didn't even want to even go near it. Chester Heights has 6 to 7, depending upon what you look at, 6 to 7 different zip codes. We have a physical address and we have a mailing address. Because you live in Chester Heights, but you might have a Garnet Valley address. You might have an Aston. You might have a Booth Wynn, a Glen Mills, Media, Wawa. And so for some people that are, you know, they're very upset. They can't get mail. They're getting mail. The problem is they want a Chester Heights physical address, mailing address, and they're just not going to do it. The people in my development wanted mail delivery. And the only thing that they told us is if we change our address to Aston, they would give us the old mailing boxes at the head, at the front of the development. But nobody wanted that. They wanted, so why can't you just come down the street and everybody would have a mailbox? And they wouldn't do it. Plus, not everybody wanted to have an Aston mailing address. People that are having problems getting stuff from Amazon by UPS, FedEx. I've said this before. If you want to get these things from FedEx, UPS, all you have to do is you go online and you fill out, you get yourself a contract. It's not a contract. It doesn't cost you anything, but you tell them that you want to be on their delivery, and you fill out where your address is. Once you fill that out, they know where your house is. That's the easiest way for people like on Valley Brook Road to get, or Llewellyn, to get UPS delivery, FedEx delivery, is you become like a client of them, and they'll accommodate you. That's what I did many years ago, because I have no problem getting UPS, FedEx, any of that. In the beginning, yes, I did get I had problems because they kept looking for me in Marcus Hook. So it took years for that to, the fire company uses Google Maps, and that's really what they pump in, and that's how they find everybody in Chester Heights. They come up, they're the most accurate. So if you have guys, you know, if you want to, you see, the thing is, if you turn around and you say you go to your I spoke to state senators, congressmen, I spoke to them all. And it was like, okay. Well, let me look into it. And that was just like nothing ever happened. And it comes back and is everyone really willing to change all their checkbooks? Then you have to change everything in the tax rolls, all these addresses and everything. And it might create more headaches than what it's worth. So for the few people that are having problems getting the FedEx UPS delivery, you know, that's your best bet, is to just go online and fill the form out. That's all I have to say. But any questions?
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Next, I think, is probably EMC Roadmaster.
It's snowing out.
Thanks.
That'd be a good line. You know, the roads are being cleared. They're working. So any complaints, send them to Sue first. She likes to field them. And then she'll forward them on to me, and we'll take care of them. So other than that, I know Matt marked out the two sign locations, one on Llewellyn and one on Lenai. As soon as Higgins installs a sign, we have the speed limit radar to install as well. Other than that, routine matters.
Thank you. Zoning, any reports?
No report that I know of.
Okay. Next up on the agenda is solicitor's report. Jerry, do you have anything tonight?
Thank you, Vice President Ellis. No, I have nothing, just routine matters. Thank you, Larry, for the weather report, by the way.
Thank you, Jerry. Next up, engineer's report. Matt Hootman is not here. Did he send any reports, or are we waiting until work session?
I did receive a report from PennDOT, the rep, that she received and reviewed and approved the report that Matt sent for county aid. It's the MS 329. and also the report I sent, the MS-965 for the annual liquid fuels fund.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda is Mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Good evening. So we have a mayor's report. The only thing I can tell you is I signed a declaration of disaster emergency last night. So we are currently in an emergency, under an emergency declaration. And I guess that gives us an opportunity if there's any state money to collect state money or file for state money that's available to us at the end of this storm.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, so that's my only report. That's my only duty this last yesterday. And other than that, routine matters.
Okay, thank you. Committee reports, school district, education, library, Councilwoman Clark. You're talking, but we can't hear you. Susan, you're on mute.
I swear I clicked off mute. Swear I did. Mary Kay, you're on mute. Did you want to say something? I saw that you sent me something.
Yes, we had a resignation from our school board. Richard Jones has been a 9-year member of our school board, and we regretfully accepted his resignation. What the school board is doing now, they'll accept applications up until February 8th through the superintendent's office. So we will have public interviews via Zoom on February 16th at 6 p.m. So if any applicants are interested, they should contact Patricia Sharp in the superintendent's office. They can send a resume and application.
And the only requirement there is that they're a member of the Garnet, that they live in the Garnet Valley School District in Chester Heights, Bethel, or Concord, right?
Yes.
For at least 1 year.
For at least 1 year. Yes.
For at least 1 year.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to have children attending the school, do they?
No, they do not. No.
No. Okay.
The only other thing about that position is that it will be through December of this year, because this year is a municipal election. That means that the appointment runs through December of this year. And the position will be subject to election in both the primary and November election this year to finish the 2-year term that remains on it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Anything else, Mary Kay or Greg?
Today we were closed. Tomorrow will be open, virtual, synchronous, meaning live instruction virtually.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
I need a snow day. I just want to say for the record, I need a snow day.
I know this teleworking, it doesn't really work because I was still down in the office at 7 o'clock working my regular job. I didn't benefit from it and I still had to feed the children. So I agree with you. I also would like, maybe if we lost power, our bosses would give us a break. I don't want to wish that on anybody though.
You can take a break for shoveling.
Exactly. Okay, moving on the agenda, finance insurance. Mr. Mayor, we have, and Sue and Laura, we have the draft 2020 budget versus actual report to review.
That report was completed today and sent out. There was one revision made, which I believe, Laura, you found?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd like everybody to take a look at it. If you have any questions, Laura or I know, and we'll try to get you an answer. If there are any corrections, let us know as well. This is really just a draft, and we hope to have a final version to look at the work session, and then we'll publish it at the regular session in March.
Yes, and if I could just say, Vice President Ellis, I just wanted to put this out there as the member of the finance committee. One of the things that I just wanted to highlight now, since we have the numbers in, is the budget for 2020 versus the budget for 2021. The actual budget for 2021 this year is 5.7% less than what was budgeted last year. But the actual that you see down there is more than what was budgeted last year. And so I can only compare last year's actual with this year's budget because we haven't completed the year of 2021. But I do want to say it is actually 8.9% less. So this year's budget for 2021 is 8.9% less than what we spent last year. And I just would like to highlight that just in case anybody wants to know that we're actually budgeting less than last year and spending less. So I would just like to let everybody know that, and we'll update that quarterly and at the end of the year as well.
Are you talking about the net ordinary income or total expenses when you talk about it being less?
I'm talking about the first statement I made was the expenditures for 2020 budgeted versus the expenditures for 2021 budgeted, which the budgeted expenditures for 2020 become actuals, which is what you're seeing now as a draft, right? And that increase from the budget of 2021 versus the actual was only, we did go over by 3.3%. But the whole point is, I just would like to say that our goal in the finance committee and with our expectations and all of our efforts this year is that our budget for 2021 is less than 2020. And the actual versus what is budgeted for 2021 is 8.9% less. So I just would like to let everybody know that and be aware of that. And then as a member of the finance committee, Fred, Sue, and I, we're just going to monitor that and keep on that as the year progresses. That's all.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, you can always email info@chesterheights.org, and we're happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Moving on to the agenda, the fire company finance, neither one of those committee members are here. I neglected to say that Dave Ferkser is also absent tonight, but he had a child. He and his wife had a baby 4 days ago. So congratulations to them.
Yeah,
Nominating.
I'm sorry. Sam did email a fire report.
Okay.
I'll email it out to everybody. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I thought Dave was going to read it.
Understood. Nominating vacancy, I think we'll skip ahead on that as well. Communications, public relations, that is me. I'm asking all committee heads to please write a report about what your committee is doing and what it did in 2020. So a review of 2020 and looking ahead to 2021 for all committees. And I'm giving you 2 weeks to submit those reports to be published in this upcoming newsletter. All content is due on February 15th. And please email me or Laura for any questions on that. Actually, Mr. Siogo, what you just explained, everything about why we don't have mail, and kind of the history and all of that statement that you made earlier today, if you could submit that in writing and we'll make that part of the newsletter with why you don't get mail delivered to you from Chester Heights if you live in Chester Heights.
Sure, for you, okay.
Thank you very much. I think the greater community, since we mail every single resident a newsletter, would appreciate understanding that, especially new residents, because it can be very confusing.
When the new people move in, they're very confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I get phone calls from every one of them when they move in. So that I want this, I say, you can't have that.
So. Well, this is a great opportunity to explain the history and explain why, and we'll make it a newsletter article. So thank you in advance.
Okay.
Any questions about your committee reports, please direct them to me. And I am asking for them to be in 2 weeks. I have to submit the entire newsletter 3 days after that. Moving on, Mayor's Event Committee. Mr. Mayor, do you want to update the council on that?
Oh, yes, thank you, Madam Vice President. We had a brief meeting the other night, a couple weeks ago now, and we discussed what we could do for events this year. One of them was based on what we're doing for recycling. And I think Laura, you want to talk about that when you on your report, your recycle day? Okay, remember talk about that. That'll be in September at some point. We have a couple movie nights under consideration. We're going to wait and see about Memorial Day, but we're thinking Easter's probably not going to happen this year just because of COVID, and we don't think we'll be through this issues far. We won't have the COVID issues behind us enough to allow open public gathering as large as Easter. But we're looking for something for Memorial Day, perhaps a couple movie nights. And we're going to try and do a borough history anniversary day in September. I did talk to Sam Iannucci about Community Day that the fire company is doing. And we just wanted to make sure that we didn't cross paths with them, because that's a pretty busy event, a community event that our company does, and it's very popular. So things are still up in the, bottom line is things are still up in the air, but looks like we'll have some events starting this summer, probably hopefully as early as June, and maybe as early as Memorial Day. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any
question?
Just to mention that one of the reasons for foregoing the Easter egg hunt this year is that there's a very real possibility our entire playground will be under construction at that time. And we're hoping that some of the work will have begun. So we don't want to invite people into our community park, asking everybody to wear a mask, asking everybody to social distance while we're under construction. So hopefully next year's Easter egg hunt in 2022 will be a much larger event with a new playground. Any questions about event committee? No, okay, moving on. Historical committee, Sue, any report?
Yes, a resident had dropped off records from when Garnet Valley School District started, and I left them for Ann Searle to review, and we are planning to meet with the DeSalvo family to proceed with getting a plaque for the DeSalvo Park. That's okay. All.
Thank you. Planning, zoning, Susan, anything?
There was no meeting this month. There was no planning commission meeting last week.
Okay. Engineering construction inspections.
No report.
Ordinance code review.
So this is one where we want to talk about an ordinance, and we don't have the ordinance drafted, but apparently some other municipalities have enacted ordinances that deal with the issue of medical marijuana, both dispensaries and growers. Specifically, and I'm going to let Jerry talk here in a minute, but specifically what Concord did in Chester Heights was write an ordinance to control where they can be located. And Aston did that, but in addition, they also passed an ordinance about the growers, where the growers can be. So I want Jerry to present what he knows about what other municipalities have done. And I think what we need to do is have a committee meeting to talk about, the specifics of what we want to enact, and then bring it back to the work session. So, Jerry, do you want to?
Sure. Thank you, Susan. Just as a follow-up, I did send a memo around to council today, just kind of outlining the Pennsylvania Medical Marijuana Act, Act 16, which was passed back in 2016. And what it did was it legalized the growth, processing, storage, dispensing of medical marijuana. Concord had passed an ordinance in 2019 and limited it to medical marijuana dispensaries along the Route 202, Route 1, and 322 commercial areas. They did it in a form of a special exception to their existing zoning ordinance. I did look at Aston because I was aware that they did, in fact, also enact an ordinance, and that ordinance combined both an indoor growth or indoor grower processing facility, as well as a medical marijuana dispensary. But they typically do it as a conditional use application. And as you know, if you did a special exception, it would go before a zoning hearing board. If you did a conditional use, it would go before the governing body. So there's different municipalities take different views towards what they want to do. A lot depends on the area in which the borough or municipality wants to limit the use. Certainly, you can't just exclude some use, but you would have to at least put it in an area in your zoning district where you can regulate the use. And these are dispensaries that also have state licenses, and they have to comply with the act. The state does in the act require that any facility or any manufacturing processing plant has to meet the requirements of a municipality's zoning regulations. So there are some limitations. I'm not sure yet which way certainly the borough wants to go. I think there needs to be a discussion with the zoning code enforcement officer. I think that can be done at the next meeting with the ordinance committee. I think there's a number of details which have to be reviewed with regard to the purpose, the intent, the location, the size, how far away will it be from a residential zoning district, if that's one of the requirements. So there's a lot of detail that has to be gleaned. And I'll still continue. There's some municipalities that I'm aware of, I just haven't been able to get a hold of their ordinances yet. So my plan after talking to Drew and Susan was to at least draft an ordinance. And then certainly there would be a discussion if the borough felt comfortable with a proposed draft and some of the details, then the borough could authorize me as a solicitor to publish an advertisement. Then there would be a public hearing on the potential adoption of the draft, at which point the public could comment on the ordinance. And then if there weren't any substantial revisions, and if it was approved, the ordinance would be effective. Otherwise, whatever substantial revisions there would be, take it back to the drawing board and iron those terms out. So I'm open to any questions if you have any.
Solicitor Montella, can I ask a couple questions, please?
Certainly.
Is this just for medical purposes of to dispense it ordinance, or is this going to trickle into recreational marijuana selling?
No, it would be just for the medical marijuana for dispensing of it pursuant to the Pennsylvania Medical Marijuana Act. It's limited to that purpose.
And then if you were to add the ordinance to the borough's ordinance and codes, what about the growing piece of it? Are you obligated then to allow for somebody who wants to sell marijuana for medical reasons to also allow them to grow it and harvest it? Or is it just the dispensing of it?
If you took what, and again, I have to touch base with Concord, but Concord apparently enacted an ordinance just for the dispensing of it. I did not see that it covered the growing or processing, the indoor growing or processing of it. And they limited that dispensary to a commercial area. Aston took a different view, or I guess a broader view, and they actually included the growing processing, but it was limited to their limited industrial zoning district. So that's where they put essentially their manufacturing processes, in that limited industrial zoning district. So I believe they, I, I'm assuming they felt comfortable with that particular use in that particular zoning district. So that's something for the borough to consider. The borough doesn't have to certainly go that route. They could make it a little bit broader, or they could limit it just to what Concord did. Frankly, right now, I'm not, I don't have all the facts with me with regard to why one municipality did X and another municipality did Y. It's something that has to be looked into.
So from, if we were to follow suit with Concord and Councilwoman Clark, I know that, you know, you're working with Jerry on this, but if we were to do this, is there only commercial area? Is it the Route 1 in Valley Brook? Is that in, and Stony Brook right there in that area for the borough of Chester Heights? And then you have the Valley Brook and Smithbridge section right there, right? The commercial, like, are those the two sections? Am I missing any other commercial designated properties?
I think it's B business, right, Jerry?
That's correct. And I, you know, Concord took it, Concord made it, Concord enacted the ordinance just along, I guess, busy arterial highways where there wasn't residential zoning districts nearby.
Yeah, so would we have to include this in the comprehension plan? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Would we have to do this in our comprehension plan then, identify that?
No, it's a two, there would be, it's a, well, at some point it would be part of your zoning map. You're not changing the zoning map, you're just allowing a particular use in a particular zoning district. So from that standpoint, whether his comprehensive plan gets updated, whenever it gets updated, might mention it, but this would be a use in a zoning district.
Is there a timeline that we have to adhere to move this, or are we just introducing this for discussion so we all can get smart on the subject?
Well, I think the thing is we want to enact something so that if the eventuality occurs, we'll be prepared for it. So we want to move this along reasonably quickly. The other thing, let's see, there's something else I was going to say. Shoot, I might have lost a thought.
I have a question. Should Pennsylvania broaden their marijuana usage laws to the selling of recreational marijuana, and let's say Pennsylvania legalizes it completely, would we then need to amend this ordinance to refer back to broader Pennsylvania laws should that happen?
I would think so. Jerry?
I would believe you would probably need to amend the zoning code.
Okay.
To deal with whatever use that may, future use that may arise under a state statute.
So, Celestia Montella, does that mean that, because I know you said that you hadn't done that much research yet. So before the next working session, are you going to be able to go and see what other municipalities are adding into theirs to give this council some ideas of the verbiage and the leeway?
Yeah, my initial research, I haven't found many municipalities in Delaware County that have enacted ordinances. There's been just simply a few. I was aware of Concord because I'm a resident here, but you know, I knew of Aston because I was their former zoning solicitor. But I'm not aware of, I thought there was one or two other ones in the counties. I assume part of what the borough wants to do is be somewhat proactive to, you know, make sure that this type of facility is in a area in the borough that the council feels comfortable with and is regulated to the degree to ensure the safety, health, welfare of the residents and community. So, you know, that's kind of where I believe the process is right now. I do know of my research, there was a couple of counties outside or a couple of boroughs outside the county. I think one's in Carlisle, one might be in State College, but there's not that many ordinances that I have initially found.
Okay.
other than the two that I brought to your attention.
One thing you might want to check is the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs often has mocked up ordinances for municipalities to grab and implement. So you might want to see if they have anything. And also that we do have like Westlake Plastics down that end would also be some kind of commercial zoning.
Well, I think that's located in the probably limited industrial district of the borough.
Okay.
So if the borough thought that that would be an area to, if you do a broader growing manufacturing process, maybe that's where that part goes. That would be the type of zoning district that you would look to for a processing, storage, growing, indoor growing area. But again, I would defer to our zoning code enforcement officer for his expertise on that.
Okay, anything else on that topic?
Yeah, I have a question. Jerry, is the possibility there where we could just have it an ordinance for the dispensary? Do you have to have the quote unquote growing capability or whatever that other section piece is?
No, I don't believe you do. I think it's discretionary with the council. And again, this is being reviewed as I understand it, because the borough wants to have some control over where this particular facility may be in its borough. Certainly right now, there's no type of use in the zoning code that I'm aware of in the current zoning code. So if a facility were to come in and assuming it met all the other requirements, you probably would have to, you know, might be located in the B business district. And there's areas in the B business district where you might not want the facility. That's certainly within council's discretion. Yeah, I guess I would, the most recent, I guess, example would be the car wash. So, you know, there wasn't a specific use with regard to a car wash. I believe the zoning hearing board made the determination that the car wash was allowed by special exception with a number of conditions. So, you know, that would be an example.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of, I thought about that too, what Sue Clark was saying, that it's probably something we don't want to sit on, you know what I mean? Because where we get caught down the road, like, for example, what happened over there at the Powell property, getting caught up there with not having that proper ordinance set in place years ago. So now we're kind of...
Note that I found was apparently there's only so many limited licenses given or applications given in these types of facilities across the state. They're limited in number. They may already be topped out at this point. I don't know. But I do know my initial research, there were X number of licenses, applications. There's a very strict application process. There's a very strict asset, a number of the amount of money and that you have to put up with regard to these facilities, how much capital you have to have and those types of financial considerations. So it may be that there may not be a number of applications. There might be, the applications might be already limited. So you wouldn't necessarily, this municipality might not get a applicant to come in to this borough and trying to, create a dispensary. I don't know. It's just something I was initially looking at.
That's why we're going to put aside trying to clean up old ordinances and focus on this one, because it could potentially, it's just the best defense is a good offense, right? So we want to get something enacted.
Would it be worthwhile to find out, maybe our state rep or state senator could help us, how many of these licenses to sell and grow are still left in Pennsylvania? Because to Jerry Montello's point, if there's four or five left, the chances of them being in Chester Heights are probably pretty slim. But if there's 100 or more left and people are still going through the licensing process, then that would speed this up a little bit. But if the chances are less, then maybe we don't have to jump on this so fast.
I think if we have it in the minutes that it's our intent to do something, that will help as long as we keep it moving along.
Okay.
Do you agree with me on that, Jerry?
Certainly. It's always a good thing perhaps to find out at the state level what, the process is. I'm certainly not an expert on that area, but and certainly would agree that, that information would certainly be helpful for council to make to have all the facts before it goes ahead and, makes a decision. But so any information is helpful. I think it's a good idea. And, council and the ordinance committee can continue to move forward.
Could I comment?
Sure.
There are a couple of things I want to maybe add. Jerry, you're right. There's a limited number of licenses out there, and usually a person with a license is looking for a municipality that has an ordinance, so that or they go to the municipality and help them put an ordinance together. I know this because at one point I was asked to be on a board of a group of people that were trying to get Pennsylvania licenses. So I know a little bit about that. We did not get a license, so we're not part of it. We're not interested in finding a place for a dispensary or growing. As an agriculture person here, I want to mention that it is legal to grow marijuana for hemp purposes. This is industrial hemp, which is the same plant as the health plant, except it doesn't have as much THC in it, which is the ingredient that makes you goofy. hemp is used, was originally made for ropes, but it's been found to be very helpful with some fibers for clothing and things like that, where you want some strength to it. So I'm not, as an agriculturalist here in the borough, I am not, I'm just gonna state, I'm not planning to grow hemp. I'm doing just fine with hay. And I've got plenty of sales in hay. I don't have any sales for hemp at the moment. So I think I have to get approval from the borough anyway if I'm going to grow hemp. But I just wanted to, in your travels, Jerry, you might come across some information about hemp as well. And I can probably help you find it if you're interested.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So, Fred, if I'm hearing you correctly, those who have been granted licenses or are in the licensing process look to municipalities that have this in their code as a place that they would want to be?
That's my understanding. That's the way it was 3 years ago when this was all getting kicked off. I don't know if it's still true now. I mean, I've been 3 years past that because we didn't get a license. So. We didn't have to find a place to do dispensaries or growing facilities, but most of those places were in places like Reading and Lancaster and up in Scranton. There weren't very many around here. There were some in Philadelphia. I don't recall them being any in Delaware County. There might have been some in Montgomery County as well as Bucks County.
All right, well, it sounds like we're all going to be doing a lot of reading in the next few weeks in preparation for this conversation at the work session. Thank you.
I think it's a good idea to be doing what we're doing, just so that we're, as Sue says, we're prepared and we're forearmed, so to speak. I don't think there's any harm in what we're doing.
Okay, any other questions or comments on this topic? Okay, moving on. Public safety, environment. Neither one of those committee members are present tonight. Public safety, borough police protection. There has not been a meeting because we're still Zooming. Borough property, parks, open space. Laura, can you speak to that, please?
Yes, I can. So for the borough parks and open space, I can say that we did purchase the playground equipment and it should be arriving in a couple weeks for parks. So that's exciting. And we are still waiting for a couple bits of information from our engineer, and then they will begin removing the playground equipment and installing the new playground equipment. And the expectation is it'll take 2 to 3 weeks once they break ground. And then I'll be working with Vice President Ellis to make sure that we let the community know, and then we'll put some kind of tape up like we did last time at the beginning of COVID to let people know that we don't want them out there playing on it the couple of days prior to the construction beginning, because they're going to come out there and they're going to start measuring and surveying and finalizing that. So if the weather holds, minus this nor'easter, then the expectation is once they break ground, they're going to stay with it for 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and they're done. But the biggest limb fact for us, and this being completed, is the weather. I know you all understand that. Once we break ground, everybody just, you know, take a knee and hope that we can get through this with good weather for at least 3 weeks so they can finish that off. I don't know if I would say that it's going to be available for April. That's my hope, but I think that's a tall wish. So I don't know how that's going to progress, but that's my goal. So that's that piece right there. And the next thing is the Strine property. I've got to work, and so we can do the use plan for that property. And I'm going to work with Councilman Bob Adams. So him and I can go out there and do a site survey and start working on that. And maybe he'll want to help me out and take that on a little bit. So that's the fingers crossed for Bob right there. So that's all I have, but I just want to provide that update.
I just have a question.
Well, sure.
One thing is the ground is frozen right now. I found out when I went to put markers on my driveway to see where the driveway is versus the snow. So that's a consideration. And then secondly, when the playground equipment arrives, if we're not ready to install it, how are we going to physically secure it so that somebody doesn't, you know?
No, that's fine. That's a really good question. The contract engineer, the playground equipment is going to be delivered to his facility, and he will house it until the ground is ready and he is ready to proceed.
Perfect.
Yeah. No worries.
Along similar lines, and this might be more for Jerry, would it behoove us to just close the entire park down while construction's happening so we're not tempting people who might be on the fields playing soccer or whatnot to want to come up to the playground? Just say, you know, park is closed for construction and just close off the driveway entirely until the construction is over.
Yeah, I would certainly consider that. I don't think you want anyone in that vicinity when there's construction going on. It just, you know, poses a liability issue. I mean, do you have any sense as to how long it will take for everything to get
done? Yeah, no, I do. He actually said it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks, weather dependent. So when he's supposed to receive the equipment, I'm looking at my calendar. He's supposed to receive the equipment mid-February. So let's just assume February 15th. And then he gets the topographic map that he needs from the engineer, because he's going to make it ADA compliant. So he has to do some degrees in elevation for wheelchairs and things like that. So he has to have all that documentation. So when he goes out there with his surveyors, he can survey all of that and then remove the old playground equipment, which he says will take 2 days, and then install the new equipment, which he will already have at his location. And then he'll bring it on site.
Any equipment going to be there that he's leaving equipment on the premises?
Right. Yes, he did say he will probably leave 1 to 2 Bobcats.
I think we need to close the park. Larry, can we work with you and the fire department on chaining off the park and closing it once construction commences?
Should be able to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I do know when they did the Concord Park, all they did, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do, is they put caution tape around it while they were working on it.
I think we should just close off the parking lot entirely.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. If you want to close off
the construction people, so it needs to be something that they can get in and then close behind them.
No, I think that's a good idea. I know that there is already a yellow chain there that was buried about a foot underground, and we pulled it up when we were cleaning it out before, when Keith Lawless was doing that section for us with Scott. So that actually already exists. We would just have to go out there and see if it can cross over and be secured. I don't know if it's actually been implemented or practiced. I don't know if it's rusty, it's broken, but that is something definitely I can do once it gets warmer, is go out there with maybe Keith or Scott and have them help me come up with an idea to secure the park. And I can just relay that to the contractor that this is what we're going to do. And then we can do the announcement to the public.
Okay.
So that's a really, that's a good idea. Thank I'll do more work. No worries. Thanks, Gina.
Okay.
Whatever you need. No, I'm really excited, and I hope everybody's excited and the community's excited, and I hope it goes really well. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Me too. Okay, thank you. Highways, transportation, Larry, I think you already did an update. Do you have anything else?
No, nothing else.
Okay, public utilities, trash, recycle. Back to you, Laura.
The only thing is what Mayor Wood talked about is our recycling day has been set, and it is going to be September 11th from 9 to noon. Previous recyclings were 2 hours, and I opted for 3 hours because if you guys remember this past September, when we had the volunteer firefighters out there coordinating traffic on Wilson's property, they did a really good job, but it was very hectic for them. And there was no reprieve in the 2 hours. So I'd like to open it up for 3 hours to just kind of alleviate that traffic. And hopefully the residents will know that they have a 3 hour window so they don't have to be there right away. So it's gonna be a 3 hour event, and I have it from 9 to noon on September the 11th at the park. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, anybody with any old business? New business, I do have one thing. I just want to make the announcement that we do have a new Eagle Scout who is a Chester Heights resident. However, this young gentleman does not like attention. So he doesn't want a letter from the mayor, and he doesn't want us to say his name, but I just wanted to recognize that we do have another Eagle Scout in Chester Heights. Anybody else with new business? Okay, everybody, additional period for public comment. Please state your name and address for the record.
Greg?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, Ron?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, Jayco, R. Jayco? You have anything? No, okay. Mary Kay, do you have anything more?
No, thank you.
Okay. Tony?
No, thank you.
Okay, Marta?
I just have one comment. Marta Driscoll, 458A Lanai Road. Laura, have you considered another day for the recycling event? It is the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and with our fire department being asked to participate, I thought perhaps, I don't know, either a weekend later or a weekend earlier might be, I mean, the weekend earlier we can't because it's Labor Day probably, right? I'm just, you know, out of respect for that, for the event and for the day, perhaps there's a better date.
I thought that too, and I reached out to them, but unfortunately two out of the three vendors, that's their only day that they're available. They've already been booked. So that's what we're stuck with to keep it in line with September.
Well, thank you.
Okay, is that it? Okay, Kate Nolte. No, Beth McKinnon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had to unmute.
There you are, okay.
Hi, sorry about that. Kate Nolte, 24 Bishop Drive. Only want to mention back on the medical marijuana topic that I'm actually helping out as much as I can to bring together resources for everybody if you're interested. I've been compiling, I wrote down all your questions, and I've reached out to several people who have done a lot of advising on this topic, so I'm happy to provide it whenever you guys feel like you want it, or if you have any questions and want to reach out to me personally, that's okay. I would invite that.
You know what, Kate, thank you, because I forgot to mention during the committee report that Kate and I did talk over the weekend, and I'm going to set up a committee meeting and invite Kate so that we can hear. She has some ideas that are different than versus just where to locate things. And so we will delve into that in more detail as a committee.
Will that be a public meeting?
It will be like any other committee meeting that you guys have committee meetings. And if there's not a quorum, then it's not a public meeting.
Okay. Kate, I do want to learn more about this topic to make sure that we address it the right way. And if available, I'd like to attend. That's all.
Just likewise, when you guys have committee meetings, I think you should let the rest of council know so we can decide to attend as well.
Noted.
Okay.
Just offering that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Beth McKinnon?
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay. JB Hatch?
Nothing. Thanks.
Okay, Walt Bashir. Walt, you're on mute if you have anything for council. Okay, Gary, do you have anything for council? Public comment? I'm not hearing anything, so.
Me neither.
That's all I have on the list there.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We have a second, thank you. Meeting adjourned, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone, have a great week.